Radio Prague News.
The Environment Ministry wants a German state to provide within 24 hours a timetable for the removal of waste illegally imported into the Czech Republic. The police will not, after all, search for women who make use of anonymous baby boxes. And the Civic Democrats remain the most popular party ahead of June's elections. The Czech Environment Ministry has called on the German state of Saxony-Anhalt to provide within 24 hours a timetable for the removal of waste illegally imported into the Czech Republic. On Monday, the Czech Environment Minister Libor Ambrozek said if the Germans didn't remove waste from the town of Libčeves by the end of this month, the Czech authorities would do so and send them the bill. Firefighters were called out to deal with a blaze at a dump in Libčeves at the weekend, the third fire there since February. Several cases of the illegal importing of German rubbish to the Czech Republic have been reported in recent months. The police will not search for women who make use of anonymous baby boxes, a spokesperson told Mladá Fronta Dnes. Last month, high-ranking police officer Alena Polčková said the police needed to track down such mothers in case the baby's parents were drug addicts or alcoholics. Her statements were roundly condemned by baby box operators. They said the loss of anonymity would deter women from using it. The police now say they will only search for mothers when babies show signs of violent abuse. The Civic Democrats remain the most popular political party ahead of June's elections, suggests a poll just released by the SC&C agency. Almost 30% of respondents said they would vote for the party. The Social Democrats remain in second with 23.6% support, slightly down on last month. The Communists have 18% voter support, followed by the Christian Democrats with 12% and the Green Party with 10%. Some 52% of respondents in the same poll said they would not welcome the Communist Party playing a role in the next government. And finally, the weather. It should remain bright with rain in places over the next few days. Temperatures are set to reach up to 21 degrees Celsius by the end of the week. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find more stories on our website, but for now, that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Pavla Horáková. In today's program, clean up or pay up, the Environment Ministry gets tough with Germany over rubbish. We look back at the life and work of Rudolf Slánský, a former diplomat and dissident who's died at 71. In Talking Point today, we look at the latest diplomatic row between the Czech Republic and Cuba. We'll have that, plus the sports news. Please stay tuned. Clean up or pay up. That was the stark message of Environment Minister Libor Ambrozek to the German state of Saxony-Anhalt on Monday, the latest round in a dispute over German rubbish dumped illegally in the Czech Republic. The comments came amid reports that the illegal dump in disused farm buildings in the North Bohemian village of Libčeves was again on fire. My colleague Rob Cameron joins me in the studio now. So, Rob, what prompted Mr. Ambrozek to make these comments?
Well, Pavla, there have been several cases of German waste being imported illegally to the Czech Republic over the last few months. And the one that the media has seized upon has been the village of Libčeves, because someone keeps setting fire to it, basically. Firemen were called out for the third time on Monday to put out the fire at this rubbish dump, which consists of waste brought here illegally from Germany.
Right. So what does Mr. Ambrozek want the Germans to do?
Well, Mr. Ambrozek wants the authorities in the state of Saxony-Anhalt to remove the waste by the end of April. If they don't, he says, then Czechs will dispose of the rubbish and send the bill to the government of Saxony-Anhalt. He says the Germans are dragging their feet over the matter and, following a bilateral agreement, should have removed it already.
But, Rob, as I understand it, it was a Czech firm which actually imported the waste and dumped it illegally. Why should the Germans have to clean it up?
Well, very good question, Pavla. And for an answer to that question, I called Mr. Ambrozek's spokeswoman, Karolina Šulová.
Ten důvod je jednoduchý. Na té německé straně bylo porušeno nařízení...
The answer is simple. The German side has violated the terms of a regulation issued by the Council of the European Economic Community that monitors the disposal of waste. The fault lies with a German exporter of the waste who failed to ascertain whether the waste was being sent to a facility which was equipped to deal with it. So they exported the waste, or in this case, passed the waste on to another firm, and this firm dumped it in an old cowshed. What's more, this firm had no authority to dispose of waste products.
Right, so we understand why it's the German authorities who are responsible, but why has Mr. Ambrosek, who seems like a rather mild-mannered minister, taken such a strident position?
Well, two reasons, really. One, he's under pressure from the Prime Minister, Jiří Paroubek, who has criticised Mr. Ambrosek over the speed in which this matter is being resolved. And the second, of course, it's 7 weeks, less than 7 weeks now, before the elections. And so politicians are keen to make an impact on the public, especially on issues like this one, which really has featured heavily in the newspapers and which a lot of Czechs do care about.
Thank you very much for that, Rob Cameron. The former Czech diplomat and communist-era dissident Rudolf Slánský Jr. passed away on Monday after a serious illness. He was 71. As the son of the famous Czechoslovak Communist Party general secretary who was executed after a show trial in 1952, Rudolf Slánský Jr.'s participation in the dissident movement after 1968 and his subsequent work in the diplomatic service earned him the respect of many senior figures in Czech politics. Chris Jarrett looks back on his prominent career.
Renowned for his firm principles and tolerance, Rudolf Slánský had a profound impression on all those who knew him, as much through politics and diplomatic work as in his everyday life. Born in Prague in 1935, he lived in exile between 1938 and 1945 with his family in the USSR, after his father, along with much of the communist leadership of the time, fled to the Soviet Union when German troops occupied the Sudetenland. He knew a young Cyril Svoboda as a child, whose family had a country cottage in the same village as the Slánskys, and who would become today's foreign minister. Pavel Rychetský is constitutional court chairman and was also a close family friend of Rudolf Slánský.
Musím říct si, že nejen já, ale všichni, kteří ho poznali, na něm ze všeho nejvíce oceňovali neuvěřitelnou...
I have to say that everyone who knew him as a person who is extraordinarily tolerant, as well as kind. I got to know Rudolf Slánský during the period known as the Prague Spring at the beginning of 1968. I was 25 at the time, teaching at Prague's Faculty of Law. He was older and represented people who were pushing for basic democratization and reforms. His strongest personal attribute was empathy and understanding for people, and he always tried to find the good in others. At the same time, he was very firm in his beliefs.
As a school pupil, he studied communist economics and planning, but had to leave school at the time of his father's execution. Rudolf Slánský Sr. was Secretary General of the Czechoslovak Communist Party and was sentenced to death by hanging by his own party in 1952 when his son was just 17. Pavel Rychetský describes the effect these events had on Slánský.
Myslím si, že to bylo také asi s ohledem na jeho relativně...
I think he was influenced by a fairly tragic past. As a child, he was imprisoned with his mother and his sister, and his father was executed. All the same, he didn't react with ill will or lean towards hatred. Even though we were close friends, we never spoke about the execution of his father together. I think it was a great lifelong weight on his shoulders. He knew his father was a victim of various processes, which he himself helped set off. At the same time, his father was the only intellectual in the communist leadership before and after the Second World War.
In the 1960s, Slánský himself became a member of the Czechoslovak Communist Party, but was expelled in 1969 due to his active participation in the Prague Spring communist reform movement in 1968. During the 20 years that followed, the normalization period, he participated in dissident groups and was a signatory of the Charter 77 Human Rights Manifesto. He became the permanent representative of Czechoslovakia at the UN in New York after 1989, before serving as ambassador in Moscow for 6 years. In 1997, he was appointed as ambassador to Slovakia, a position which he occupied until 2004. But aside from the mark he made on the political world, he is fondly remembered by those he knew personally. Sociologist Jiřina Šiklová was a close friend of Rudolf Slánský Jr. and describes her memories of him.
For him, he's the best, the gentleman. Yes, really, very important is this gentle. I know that he had perfect contact with the people. Never he accused somebody. He had the big possibility to understand what it is, the pain, what it is, the political orientation, and how important it is to accept it, the other people in the contact.
Such warm sentiments remain with many who knew Rudolf Slánský, both professionally and personally. But those by whom he will be missed most sorely are his wife and two sons, for whom the memory of this figure of great political prominence and influence will always remain as a loving and devoted husband and father.
Chris Jarrett there with that report. Now, just a reminder, you are listening to Radio Prague, where it's time now for the sports news. And Jan Veringer is here with the latest in the ice hockey finals between Sparta and Slavia.
Thank you, Pavla. And as you said there, we start with the hockey. Monday was do or die for Slavia Prague as the team faced arch rivals Sparta. Playing in their home stadium, Slavia twice took single goal leads, but both times Sparta came back in a tight edge of the seat game played before a record number of fans, more than 16,000. The game, capturing the best of a classic rivalry, was also attended by the country's president. And Slavia managed to hold on to a final lead of 3-2, going up in the third on a nice backhander by Tomáš Givíšek. Slavia's win narrows Sparta's lead in the best-of-seven series to 3-2. And across the pond in the NHL, Czech stars like Jaromír Jágr and Patrik Eliáš are gearing up for the Stanley Cup playoffs. But one player still uncertain to start is Ottawa's star goaltender Dominik Hašek. Hašek, 41, suffered injury earlier at this year's Winter Olympics. He has not played for Ottawa since. He has been practicing, but recently reportedly complained he was still suffering pain. His game isn't there yet. Earlier, Ottawa representatives staved off rumors Hašek was finished for the season. They assert that he will return at some point soon. Turning to football in the Czech domestic league, Slovan Liberec edged a point closer at the weekend to taking the league title. They tied 1-1 with Pilsen. The team's coach, Vítězslav Lavička, wasn't entirely happy with this team, but said in the second half his players did well to earn the point.
Judging by the way we played in the first half especially, we didn't really deserve to win, and not surprisingly, they went ahead. But we tightened up our organisation in the second and got the all-important equaliser. We even came close to going ahead after that. The ball was on the goal line, but given the flow of the game, we're happy with the point. How important it will be overall, we'll see at the end of the season.
In other football action, Czechs were on form in the English Premiership at the weekend, including Petr Cech. His side, Chelsea, are now a point away of winning their second straight championship title. Most recently, Chelsea downed Everton 3-0. But the world's number one keeper, Cech, was injured at the end of the first half when he accidentally collided with teammate William Gallas. He was replaced in goal by Kudacini. The injury is a minor one, although Cech does report on his webpage that he was given 10 stitches to his foot. His start for the Czech national side, though, at the upcoming World Cup in Germany, is not threatened. Also in the Premiership, Aston Villa's Milan Baroš struck twice in a derby against local rivals Birmingham City, contributing to a 3-1 victory. This season, Baroš has now scored 8 goals for Villa. Finally, we turn to basketball. The Easter weekend saw the Basketball League playoff quarterfinals heat up with a number of high-scoring matches. Proskeyov trounced Uski nad Labem 128-70, while Nymburk sent Sparta packing 123-70 to make the semifinals. Other winners included Brno over Gečín and Kunín over Pardubice. That's the sport.
The sports news with Jan Wellinger. Now, as every Tuesday here on Radio Prague, we have Talking Point for you. And today, Linda Maštajíř takes a look at a diplomatic row which broke out between the Czech Republic and Cuba on Friday. And Linda's Talking Point starts with an official view from the Czech Foreign Ministry.
The Minister of Foreign Affairs considers the act of Cuban authorities as de facto expulsion of the Czech diplomat or a declaration of the Czech diplomat as a persona non grata.
Richard Krpač, spokesman for the Czech Foreign Ministry, reacting there to the latest move in a long-running diplomatic conflict between the Czech Republic and Cuba. Relations between these two countries have been strained since the fall of communism in Central Europe. Last week, on the 12th of April, Stanislav Kazetsky, the number two man at the Czech embassy in Havana, was denied the renewal of his diplomatic visa and given 72 hours to leave Cuba. A quick glance at a summary of Czech-Cuban relations since 1999 reveals that these two states, formerly allied during the communist period, have been far from friendly in recent years. Perhaps most dramatic were the events of January and February 2001, when two Czechs, Ivan Pilip and Jan Bubeník, spent 3 weeks in a Cuban jail after making contact with Cuban dissidents, and Petr Bidhart, then the Senate chairman, flew to Havana to negotiate their release. More recently, this past January, two Czech women, Helena Hodová and Mariana Kroftová, were arrested and briefly jailed for taking photographs in the poor districts of Havana. Last Wednesday, tensions flared again when Vít Korselt, the chargé d'affaires of the Czech embassy in Havana, was called to the Cuban Foreign Ministry and told that the diplomatic visa of Stanislav Kazetsky would not be renewed. As events were developing before the weekend, Richard Krpač from the Czech Foreign Ministry explained how Cuban authorities initially justified their non-renewal of Kazetsky's visa.
The Cuban authorities have not given any specific reasons why the Czech diplomat has been expelled. We definitely know that the reasons are especially the long-standing and principled stance of the Czech Republic on the human rights in Cuba and promotion of the civic society in Cuba.
Does the Czech Foreign Ministry have any notion of why Castro's regime has singled out Mr. Kazetsky? Has he, as a diplomat, been particularly involved in promoting the dissident community or helping them in any way in Cuba?
We think that Mr. Kazetsky has not violated any rule whatsoever, any rule considering the international law or law of Cuba or domestic laws in Cuba. Yet we obviously heard all the usual Cuban propaganda regarding this expulsion.
Then last Friday, the Cuban Foreign Ministry declared that the number two man at the Czech embassy in Havana had tried to enter a Cuban military base and photograph it, a clear violation of standard security protocol. Stanislav Kazetsky denies the accusation.
Dle mého nejlepšího vědomí jsem nikdy na žádnou vojenskou základnu.
To the best of my knowledge, I never set foot on any military base belonging to Cuba, and this was definitely not my intention. I never had a problem of this sort, and no one ever informed me that I had violated some security space. In a country like Cuba, where there are many current and former military bases, the situation there is such that during a two-year stay, you can't expect to avoid at least driving by some military base. However, I was never alerted to such an incident, and I definitely did not take any photographs, nor did I ever attempt to take any photographs.
Despite repeated phone calls from Radio Prague, the Cuban embassy in Prague refused to issue a statement concerning this matter. What is clear is that the Cubans are upset by the Czech Republic's foreign policy, which has since the 1990s taken a consistent hard line regarding human rights abuses in Cuba. The Czech Foreign Minister, Cyril Svoboda, who has himself been denied an entry visa to Cuba 3 times, has much to say on the subject of Czech support for Cuba's democratic underground culture.
Nepodporujeme disidenty, nepodporujeme demokraty a lidi, kteří chtějí změnu, chtějí vlastně pro svoji zemi.
We are not supporting dissidents, we are supporting democrats, people who want a change and the maximum success for their country. They want freedom, openness, prosperity and security.
The conflict in that society is long-standing, and the position of the Czech Republic is viewed positively by the people who want democratization in Cuba. I think this support from the Czech Republic can lend important moral inspiration, but we must remember that we are dealing with a movement that is domestic in nature. This battle is taking place in Cuba. It's not financed or organized by us. I'm convinced that the approach is absolutely correct. Perhaps many of you will remember what it was like in socialist Czechoslovakia, how important such support was for those who were in internal exile. Whatever sort of moral support came from the outside world was incredibly important, even more important than financial support. This type of moral support is very powerful.
Critics of the Czech Republic's policy towards Cuba are at times quick to accuse Prague's policymakers of towing Washington's line. Meanwhile, the Cuban government has accused Stanislav Kazetsky of spying for the Americans. Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda does not take kindly to such interpretations.
I categorically declare that this has nothing to do with any political position of the United States of America. It seems to me rather naive to say that the Czech Republic is someone's lackey. It is absurd and unacceptable. In this country, we decide according to our own principles. And this is the independent political position of the Czech Republic vis-à-vis Cuba. Therefore, there is no connection between whatever negotiations and visits between Czechs and Americans in the U.S. or at the U.S. Embassy here in Prague. This is an absurd suggestion, and no such thing exists in this case.
When the news that Stanislav Kazetsky would be denied continued diplomatic status in Cuba came late in the day on April the 12th, he was several hundred kilometers away from Havana, on business, as the Czech Foreign Ministry first reported. When I met with Stanislav Kazetsky at Prague's Ruzyně Airport on Sunday afternoon, moments after he had disembarked a long flight, my first question to him concerned what he was doing outside of Havana.
I was in Santiago de Cuba, which is the second largest town in Cuba, in the east of the country. And when I was in the east of the country, I was having some meetings with the representants of the cultural life, of the Cuban cultural life, and as well with some representants of the civil society.
You spent almost 2 years in Cuba. How deep are your contacts with the opposition community, that is, the opposition to Fidel Castro's regime?
Well, it was one of the main purposes of my stay in Cuba, and I have to say that after these 2 years, I guess I know very well who is who in the Cuban civil society. I would like to mention it's not the opposition, civil society is the right word to use.
All right, fair enough. And when the news came, you were given 72 hours by the Castro government to depart Cuba. Was there a consideration that you would stay on Cuban territory for longer than the 72 hours? And if you had, what would have happened to you?
I think you can go against decision like this. Well, I mean the decisions of the government of the country where you are accredited. So according to my opinion, there was no chance to stay in the country without a diplomatic visa.
We could view the fact that your diplomatic status in Cuba was terminated as a point of pride because you were effectively, according to Minister Svoboda, expelled from an undemocratic country.
How at the embassy, and I was representing Czech foreign policy, and I had to leave, so this is the only thing I can comment on this.
With Stanislav Kazetsky now back in Prague, the Czech Foreign Ministry has decided to reciprocate, and a Cuban diplomat posted in the Czech Republic will be packing his bags for Havana this week. Observers of these heated diplomatic ties can expect further tensions as the Czech Republic is preparing a detailed presentation to the European Union member states, who are scheduled to review their policy towards Cuba this June.
Talking Point with Linda Mashtalis brings us to the end of the program. Don't forget that you can go back to all the stories you've heard on the internet.
The address is www.radio.cz/English. If you'd like to comment on any of our reports, do drop us a line to english@radio.cz or our postal address, Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. Now from me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here in the Czech capital, goodbye and thanks for listening.
Posloucháte Rádio Praha, vysílání Českého rozhlasu do zahraničí.